Today I want to talk to you about why we should do away with Christianity. Growth requires facing where we are. Growth requires facing where we are so that we can then move to the next level. You know, when I thought about that, what crossed my mind was, if you were on the inside of a branch that had been pruned, and you know, once you cut that branch, then it starts to get hard and it starts to dry out and all this sort of thing. And you know, and a lot of times our lives are like that. Because we refuse to grow or grow up or have any growth in our lives, we kind of like for things to stay the same, the way they've always been and all that sort of thing. Parts of our lives start to get hard and get crusty and be difficult to get through. But if we're ever going to grow, we've got to come to the realization that I have places in my life that have dried out. I have places in my life that are starting to rot. I have places in my life that have turned hard. And you have to come to the realization of those things in our lives, face up to them, and then push your way through that in order for us to be able to grow. Yes or no? Some of you are aware that Ken Garfield, who is the faith and values editor for the Charlotte Observer, has taken a new position with the Observer. And I picked up yesterday's paper, but I didn't see anywhere in there where they announced who was going to be in charge of it. But it doesn't make any difference. Ken Garfield was being interviewed on WBT Radio Monday morning. And they were talking about his new assignment and all that sort of thing. And the person doing the interviewing said to him, Ken, what are the three things in the faith and values community of Charlotte that disturb you the most? And so he named the thing that bothered him the most, and then he named the thing that bothered him the second. And then the third answer that he gave was this. He said, nearly 50% of the people who live in this city do not go to church at all. And I was like, man, here we are, you know, all puffed up because we're the city of steeples. We're trying to attract I don't know if it's national or international conference of church choirs to come and do competitions in this city because we are a city of churches. And yet the more I thought about what Ken said, the more I thought his number was way too low. But I'm willing to bet, along with him, 50% of the people in this city don't go to church at all. Now, the question I have to ask myself is this. Is that their fault or mine? I think that it's the church's fault. I think that we've not really offered anything for people to be attracted to. And as a result of that, I'd rather stay home and make sure I don't miss the kickoff of the ball game than I had go and be bored for an hour. So if Christianity is not working, maybe what we should do is do away with it. What's the point? What's the point of keeping something? You know, once you open up the can of pinto beans and you eat all the beans out of it, why do you keep the can? Well, we'll put fishing worms in it. Well, okay. But I mean, you know, really. Don't we throw most stuff away once we're finished with it? Now, to be sure that we're all on the same page, let's define Christianity. Most of what we know about Christianity, we learn from Christians, and that's not fair to Christianity. Whoop, don't want to step across that line yet. Most of what we know about Christianity, we learn from Christians, and that's not really fair to Christianity. Because most Christians are a very poor example of what Christianity is. Y'all are looking up at that board and your eyes are crossing. It is true. Most of what the world knows, most of what we know, most of the perceptions that are out there concerning the subject of Christianity, we have learned not from going to the source, but we've learned it from watching people who call themselves Christians. And I'm going to tell you something. Christians are a poor example of what Christianity is all about. Most Christians don't live any real sense of Christianity, and that's not Christianity's fault. I'm going to say that one more time. Most Christians don't live any real sense of what Christianity is. What we do is we pick and choose our way through the minefield and gathering up what makes us feel good and what we like and what we can agree with, adopting it into our own religion, and then calling it Christianity. Because at some point we become convinced that if I'm not a Christian, I'm going to go to hell. And oh, well, God knows I don't want to go to hell. So I guess I want to be a Christian. I want to make sure that we understand something. Christianity is not a religion. Well, I don't know how you can say that. It's listed as one of the world's most major religions. Yeah, but that's by people who are lost. Christianity is not a religion. Because I don't know how many religions there are in the world. Let's say that there's 100 of them. All of them except for Christianity, if you'll look at their core is this is what you have to do to please God. Only Christianity says God is pleased with you because of himself. And so if you've got 100 of something and 99 of them are all the same and one is different, then how do you say that one is part of the 99? Christianity is not a religion. It is not a belief system. Christianity, what Christianity is a relationship. In that relationship, there are certain core beliefs. In that relationship, there are certain responsibilities and / privileges. But in no way does Christianity resemble religion when you understand that what religion is man's attempt to either please God, or what was the other word I wrote down here? Either please God or appease God. That's what religion's about. It's about pleasing God or appeasing God, and neither of which does the real God ask you for. Because the real God, the one that sits on the throne in heaven, whose name is not Allah, or any of those other things that we've, you know, kind of tried to attach to him, he doesn't find his pleasure in you, he finds his pleasure in his son. And so he finds his pleasure in you when he finds you in his son. And you have to hear me all the way through, you're going to be really mad. Well, I thought I was supposed to please God. Yeah, but you can't do that unless you're in his son. Because he finds his pleasure in his son. Amen? Except through the son. You can't appease God. All have sinned and come short of the glory. You can't appease God unless you're found in the son, because only the son appeased the father. And in order to be in Jesus, there has to be a relationship. Now, how many of you know that for a relationship to work, there has to be give and take? But see, most of what we do in the church today is all take. And we question God every time we want to take something and it's not there for us. Gets a little hard. I thought you loved me. I didn't know it was going to be this way. I can't believe this is happening to me. I mean, how many of you would want to be married to you if the person that you were married to acted like you do with Jesus?
That's a hard thing to follow, but that's good.
Thank you very much. Do I need to do that again? How many of you would want to be married to somebody like you? I don't remember what I said now. How many of you would want to be married to somebody like you if they loved you the way you love Jesus? If every time some little something happened in their life, they was wanting you to jump and fix it. And then when you didn't meet their every expectation, they called your love into question. There's a difference when you hurt my feelings and then we talk about what you did. But it's a whole lot different when I slap myself in the face and then I look at you and go, I thought you loved me. And really, most of what we complain to Jesus about and want Him to fix is where we've knocked our own selves in the head.
Amen.
And then call His love into question. Now, how many of you would want to be married to somebody like that? Aren't we glad He's a little more patient than we are? Religion is an attempt by man to please or appease God. But you see what God said, I so loved you, I gave. But what makes Christianity so bad? What makes Christianity so bad is there isn't any room in it for my input. My main problem with Christianity can be found in these verses. In Luke chapter 14, we read, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 oxen of yoke. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out into the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. Jesus then ends this story by saying, I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Now I've got some problems with those verses. Look at, you don't need to turn there necessarily. Acts chapter 2, verse 21 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I've got a problem with that verse. Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 10, actually. Two men went into the temple enclosure to pray, the one Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee took his stand and began to pray thus before and with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like the rest of men, extortioners, robbers, swindlers, unrighteous in heart and life, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over there. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I gain. But the tax collector, merely standing at a distance, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his breast, saying, O God, be favorable, be gracious, be merciful to me, the especially wicked sinner that I am. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, forgiven, and made upright, and in right standing with God rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. But you see, here's what Luke 18:9 says. Jesus told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves and were confident that they were righteous, that they were upright and in right standing with God, and scorned and made nothing of the rest of men. Now I want to ask you a question, and just what's wrong with that? I mean, really. If I'm the kind of person who lives uprightly, pays my tithe, pays my taxes, treats my fellow human being like a decent human being, and I go into God's sanctuary and there's a sinner over there and I'm over here, and just tell me really what is wrong Okay, well, it's called judgment. Okay, well, it's not really judgment. It's an observation of the truth. That guy over there, he's a sinner. And he's in the same church that I'm in. And you know, I'm thankful to you, God, that I'm not like that one over there. And I mean, who wants to be like that one over there? So what's wrong with me saying that? Remember, I'm on this side of the line. Okay. I have my tongue. I have firmly planted in it. Okay, good. Because some of you are looking at me kind of hard. I mean, what's really wrong with me sizing this person up over here? I mean, an ace is an ace, a king is a king, and a spade is a spade. This guy over here, he's a sinner. He sins all the time. Okay, so you want to come in here and make some big show by beating your chest and you won't lift your head. You want to cry out. What you want to do is you want to go out there and have all your fun and you want to come in here and then you want to act like, you know, oh, you're so pitiful and all that stuff. And then you want to just go back after. You're just going to go back and do the same thing you did before. So what's wrong with me standing over here going, God, I'm grateful that I'm not like other men? I mean, No, it's not arrogant. It's the truth. It's the truth. I'm not like those other people. You see, my main problem with Christianity is that it's inclusive. My main problem with Christianity is that it's inclusive. I mean, for heaven's sake, okay, so it's your party. And some people you invited didn't come. And because it is your house, and it's your food, and it's your party, if you want to invite all of these other people to come, that's your business. I'm still going to come. If you want to invite these other people, it's okay for them to come. If that's what you want, I don't understand why you want to do such a thing, but if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But I think that you are making a mistake when you tell me in John 15:12, love one another. Now, wait a minute. If you want to be inclusive and you want to bring these people into your party, that's fine. But wait a minute now. You shouldn't make me have to love them. Because everybody knows they're not like me. I do what's right. I'm well loved and respected by my wife and my children and the community that I live in. I mean, these people are dirty. I mean, my gosh, you picked them up off of a highway somewhere. Some of them was in a ditch. Or I guess 2,000 years later we could say some of them were sleeping under the bridge. Some of them were in bushes. Some of them the law's looking for. Some of them the cops are wanting. Some of them did some really terrible things last night. And I just got a problem. This is why we should do away with it. I've just got a real problem with Christianity because Christianity is inclusive. But not only is it inclusive, but then in order to be included, I've got this burden that's dropped on me that says I have to love these people. Now, I think this is about ridiculous. Don't you think so?
We on this side.
Mm-hmm. So, here's the question I want to ask you. Why is inclusion bad? Well, first reason is because inclusion is based on acceptance. Exclusion is a form of rejection, and I need the right to reject certain people. That's what's wrong with Christianity. Is it removes from me the God-given American democracy privilege that my forefathers died to give me, that if I don't like you, I don't have to hang out with you. That's right. There's a good point right there too. If I don't like you, I probably shouldn't hang out with you because, you know, you're likely to either make me mad or I'm going to make you mad. And this is what my problem is with Christianity. Not only is it inclusive, but, you know, if I'm going to be included, I got to love you. Now, I'll make you a deal though. If you'll clean your junk up, I'll love you. How's that? Would that be okay? Get your act together. I'm not asking you to be like me. Just want you to do the right thing. Well, so you're not going to do the right thing? You just don't love Jesus. And so at that point, I should have the right to be able to hold you at an arm's length. The problem with inclusion is that it takes away my God-given American right to reject you if you don't do what I think you should do. Now this is... Okay, so... Inclusion is the form of rejection, and I need that right. Why? Because to accept everyone means I'm not better than anyone. Because to accept everyone means I'm not better than anyone. And we all know that's not true. I'm better than most people I know. I'm pretty. I took a bath, I shaved, I put on a little foo-foo so I smell good, my hair's cut, I prayed this morning. I'm all dressed up, got a nice pink, pretty pink shirt on. Don't I look good? Yeah, don't smell bad. Didn't hit my wife yesterday, didn't kick the dog. Didn't get drunk last night. Don't have any narcotics in my house. Hey, I mowed my grass. Hey, yesterday I mowed my neighbor's grass. I'm a really good person. Now, my neighbor, she's got neighbors on all sides. I've got to be the better person because of all of the neighbor options that she had, I'm the only one who mowed the grass. So surely with all of this effort that I'm putting forth, I have got to be better than somebody. Don't I?
Yeah.
Thank you, Samila. You see, if we're going to be inclusive, we have to give room for other people's opinions. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you've got an opinion that differs from mine, it's only because yours is wrong. Because if you really understood the full scope of what it is we're looking at, and talking about and endeavoring to do, you'd agree with me. The problem with Christianity's inclusiveness is I have to give room for other people's ideas. Now, understand that not all opinions really have validity to them. And not all ideas have validity to them. We're not talking about whether or not Oh, wait a minute. We're not talking about whether or not an idea has an idea or an opinion has validity. What we're talking about is your right to your ideas and your opinions. That's what we're talking about. But in the real world, like Christianity should be, everybody just agree with me. I mean, we all want to watch the video about, you know, it's all about me. But yet, how many of us have walked out of a service going, I didn't like worship today, like as if it was about you? You see, the problem with Christianity being inclusive is, and then Jesus coming along telling me I have to love everybody. The problem is that I want to be around people who are like me. You see, when I'm around people who are like me, I feel a lot more comfortable. But I mean, my heavens, we don't want anybody who's got an earring in their nose, for heaven's sake. We certainly wouldn't want anybody who's got some kind of little jewel tattooed on their forehead. And God forbid that invited to the banquet should be anybody with a tattoo or green hair
or dreadlocks.
I mean, what was God thinking? And so the problem with inclusiveness, which is why we should do away with Christianity, is because if they're dressed in black from head to foot, Jesus still loves them. Now, what in the world is he thinking? But, you know, please understand me. It's like, okay, fine. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But it's just not right. You make me have to do it too. Because I like being around people who are like me. You know, old, fat, white, middle-aged people. Because I just don't like all that weird stuff that's going on these days. So we just need to do away with Christianity because it's just too inclusive. You see, the problem with inclusion, it takes away all the boxes that I've spent a lifetime creating in my head for people to fit into. You're white, you're Republican, you say you're a Christian, you've lived in the South all your life. What else? You come from South Park area, or you come from the Bates Ford Road area. See, I got all these boxes that I've spent a lifetime erecting between my ears so that in the first 5 seconds I can size you up and stick you in a box somewhere. And I just don't think it's right, especially after all the effort that I've made. I mean, I've perfected this thing that I can size you up in no time flat. Yes, I can. And I just don't think it's right that after all the work I put into this, that Jesus wants to come along and say to me, you know, people don't always fit in your boxes. Yes, they do, because I keep cutting them up until they get in there. And here's the other thing. I sort of like living in a box. I like knowing where I'm going, what I'm doing. I'm going to know what's right and what's wrong. See, it makes it easier to put other people in their boxes when it's totally defined. But inclusion takes that away from me, and that's just not, my God, that's un-American. And so we can't have that. The problem with inclusion is that you need to make sure that you understand this, okay? This is my church. I was here the first Sunday. I'm the one that got kicked out of my house so that this church could be here. I'm the one that lost friends. I'm the one that was talked about and misunderstood. Wasn't none of y'all here when all that was going on. I'm the one that paid the price for this thing. Been here all along. This is my church. Consequently, we're going to do things my way. Everybody understand? Thank you. And I don't want any changes unless, of course, they're my changes. Don't want it. It's been working fine for the last 30 years. What's wrong with it? Oh, I've got the box for you. You're just a troublemaker. That's what you are. Yeah, you're in rebellion. That's what your problem is. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't like my church the way my church is, you can go to church somewhere else and just go on to hell. I don't care. We should do away with Christianity because it's just too inclusive. After all, I put a lot more blood, sweat, effort, money, care, concern into this place than you'll ever think about. The problem with Christianity being inclusive is this. It eliminates from out of my vocabulary the words, "Well, but I expected." Now, there's not a one of us in this room. There's not a one of us in this room that doesn't have expectations. How we'd like for it to be and what we think it ought to be and how it ought to go. And my gosh, isn't democracy the greatest form of government in the world? Don't we have young men dying to establish democracy all over the world? And so I think that what needs to happen is that my expectations, my wants, my needs, and what I think we ought to do, it needs to carry some weight around here. One person, one vote. You get a vote, you get a vote, you get a vote, you get a vote, we all get a vote. How many of you like this idea? Let's all vote. See how well it works? But when you've got an inclusiveness, then everybody's got to be taken into consideration. I mean, my heavens. We got this person over here only been coming to church 6 months. And they're young. What do they know? Life is still out ahead of them. They still got some things to learn. But I've been coming here for 35 years. I know what's going on. And what I think we need to do, what I'm expecting, we just need to do away with Christianity. Oh man, I meant to put this up, but I forgot it. The problem with inclusiveness is this. It takes away my right. And I have this right to be short and ill-tempered with you when you do something wrong. And everybody knows that ain't right. Now, if nothing else, This is the rock on which I want to base my argument that Christianity should be done away with. Because there just are certain people who get on my nerves, and I can't help it. And they need to stop doing what it is they're doing to get on my nerves. I mean, I have this hierarchy of sin. And if you are consistently offending one of my pet peeves, I mean, what am I supposed to do about that? If I can't be short and ill-tempered with you about it, what am I supposed to do with my frustration that you do something that you know? In fact, here's the thing, see, you know you're not supposed to be doing it.
Over and over.
And over again. I mean, okay. Bless God, before I came to Jesus, I used to smoke. When I came to Jesus, I quit smoking. If you love Jesus like I love Jesus, you quit smoking too. All right? Bless God. Before I come to Jesus, I used to drink. If you love Jesus like I love Jesus, you quit drinking too. Bless God. But you see, people who lie or cheat or run around their wife or drink or do drugs. See, those people, they're not real Christians. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. And so they shouldn't be included. Because we all know that there are these big things that keep you out, but there are these little things that are tolerable. And we all know that that list comes from me. And we all know that. Don't we? Thank you, Pastor. Yes, would you hand that list out, please? Yes, I'd be glad to. The other thing that bothers me about Christianity is that I have to be concerned about someone else's reputation besides my own. This is concerned about someone else's reputation. Is that not what it says? What does it say?
It's okay. We know what you mean. Well,
that's the biggest repetition. Oh, is that repetition? Okay. That word is see?
That's great.
And all of you, because I'm the pastor, just overlook that misspelling and everything's just fine. Because that's how Christianity's supposed to be. That's how Christianity... I'm going to be over here when I make a mistake. All of you are over there when you make a mistake. But I'm over here when I make a mistake, and that's right. Right?
Right.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Okay. That's supposed to be reputation. I'm sorry. The problem with Christianity and why we should do away with it is because if we're really going to be a Christian, we got to be concerned about somebody else's reputation. Well, whose reputation is that? It's Jesus' reputation. And sometimes when I'm concerned more about his reputation than my reputation, it makes me look foolish. Because I might have not done... In fact, I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't do anything wrong. So if anybody's going to apologize to anybody, they're going to apologize to me. Because I'm not going to look foolish. I didn't do anything. This was not my fault. Yeah, but the Bible says... Well, I know what the Bible says. I don't need you to tell me what the Bible says. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Jesus understands and it's okay. The Bible doesn't say that. I can't believe that I got to be more concerned about somebody else's reputation than I do my own. Because that really is just not fair. It's not fair that when somebody is ugly to me, that because other people know that I go to church, that I can't be ugly back. I mean, how am I going to get that person to quit being ugly to me if I don't match their ugliness? Isn't that the way we think and talk? Well, even if it's not, that's the way we live. I mean, you don't understand what it was they said to me. And now that really hurt my feelings. And God knows it's all about my feelings. And so we should do away with Christianity so that I don't have to look foolish. I don't have to do these things that just don't make any sense to me whatsoever. So Friday night, Michelle says, what are we going to do for supper? And I said, I don't know what you want to do. She said, why don't you run right over here to Hilltop and pick us up a fish plate? And I said, all right, that'd be a good idea. Why don't I do that? So we call the order in, and I go over there to pick it up. And I walk in the restaurant, and the guy says, how many? And I said, I got a carry out. And he said, just go right over there to the other side over there, and they'll get your order for you. I said, that'd be good. So I go over there, and there's about a half a dozen people standing back here behind this little bar, and they're running around filling orders and all that, and I'm standing there waiting my turn, and I'm being ignored. Now, there's problem number one. There's problem number one because I'm important. But, you know, they all look real busy. It's not like they're goofing off with each other, so I'm going to be patient. And so I'm standing there, and I'm waiting on somebody to, you know, give me my order to be able to take back home. And while I'm waiting, this other couple comes, and they stand, and she turns to her husband. She says, I'm going to running here to the bathroom. He goes, okay. So he and I are standing there, and we hadn't said anything to each other. He just sort of standing there, and I'm standing here, and this kid comes down the thing. He looks up, and he goes, yes, sir. And the guy says, take out order for Griffin. True story. I'm standing on this side of the line. Man, was I miffed. I was there first. It's my food that's getting cold. This moron jumped in line. My rights have been violated. This is not fair. This is not right. And so I just reached over and slapped him on the back of the head and said, hey, buddy, I was here first. Thank you. No, I didn't. I had you there for a minute, though, didn't I? Anna's live with me. Anna's lived with me. She's like, yeah, I can see that. But you see, the problem with Christianity... No, wait a minute.
You got confused.
Yeah, I think I did. The problem with Christianity is I got to be concerned about somebody else's reputation. Now, I'm not talking about my reputation as the pastor of this church. Because I'm going to tell you something. That means nothing. Or let's put it a different way. That is very little compared to my reputation as a believer. That comes first. And it would have been very difficult to slap this guy in the back of the head and say to him, sir, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I just want you to know that you broke in line and I have the right to get my order before you get yours. You see what I'm talking about? Now, let me tell you a failure story. We go to the grocery store. And we're starting to leave. And there's this hillbilly. He must have made a wrong turn out of West Virginia or something. I don't know. But he's in... I know, I'm still not doing very good, am I? Well, I figure if I goofed up, I might as well just keep piling it on. And he's sitting in his truck. And I can see just as well as he can. And there's a couple cars coming, you know. But then all of a sudden it clears up and he's still sitting there. Then a few more cars come and it clears up. And I went, ah! On the horn. Then he let me know he thought I was number one. And tacked right there on the front of my car, a church alive. And I'm sitting in the car and I'm screaming, "Hey, idiot." In fact, I have used this line so much, I'm gonna let Michelle tell you what it is. What's my line? What's the line whenever people do stuff crazy driving?
If you can't drive, park it.
I've used it so much, I don't even have to tell it to her anymore. Hey, if you can't drive that thing, park it. And we need to do away with Christianity because people who can't drive do need to park it. If you're so stupid that you can't see to go on, then you need to be out of the road because I'm needing to get home. And hey, it's all about... So we all stand up and we're getting ready to go home, you know, and we're going to go get some lunch. And oh, the preacher was funny today, wasn't he? You don't ever know. And we don't have him a rope yet, but I tell you, he's about as monkeyish as they get. I really enjoyed that. And where you want to go to lunch? Oh, okay. Well, so we stop and we get ourselves seated. And it's forever before the menu comes. And it's forever before the drinks come. And then I told them not to put ketchup on this hamburger. I said I wanted fries, not a baked potato. Service here just stinks. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to show my hiney to be just as big as theirs. Because I'm entitled to good service. We're all still dressed up in our church clothes. She knows where we've been. But now she's made me mad. Because I didn't order that. I didn't get that. I didn't want that. I ain't never coming back here again. No care, no concern about what kind of morning she's had. It's just that I know that, bless God, I felt good when I left church. And that's all that matters. But actually, this is not a tongue-in-cheek. This is exactly how we do it, isn't it? Uh-huh. And we shoot Christ's reputation in the foot because we forget that Christianity is inclusive. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus loves the waitress who gives us bad service. He loves the cook who didn't fix that steak exactly the way we said it. We wanted it fixed. He loves that child who's screaming over there in the corner. And the parent who either can't get it to quieten down or won't get it to quieten down. And the master said, go out into the highways and the byways and wherever you find them, bring them in. And that's the problem I have with Christianity. We should be a little more selective. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we don't want certain types. Like as if when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he said, "This is for all you good people." But my Lord, what are we going to do if they're homosexual? We certainly wouldn't want that kind. You know, last time I checked, every homosexual I ever met was human. Yeah, but you don't know what street she's on at night. Well, you're right, I don't. But guess what? The Holy Spirit does. Well, we don't know what they've been. We don't know what they've been doing. No, but Jesus does. And his desire is to set people free. What's wrong with Christianity? In truth, nothing. Just where I've watered it down, just where I've not lived it out, just where I've not done what I should do. For God so loved the whole world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever will, may come. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through this Son we might be saved. Sometimes there are those in our family we would like to be a little less, well, let me say in our bloodline. Sometimes there are people we are related to by blood we'd like for the Lord to be a little less inclusive of. Sometimes there are those people that we have to work with we'd like for the Lord to be a little less inclusive. Sometimes there are people from gender issues, race issues, financial issues, we would wish the Lord would be just a little less inclusive of. Sometimes there are people who, you know, the people that I would really like for the Lord to be less inclusive of are the ones who remind me of myself. And sometimes what we need, it's for the Lord to not quite invite just everybody. But he's going to invite everybody. And we're blessed and fortunate that he invited us. For while I was yet steeped in sin, Christ died for me. The commitment that I'm calling you to today is a commitment of inclusion. I want you, starting right this moment, to care more about his reputation than you do your own. Because everything you say, everything you do, and everywhere you go, you represent him to everybody who knows that you're a Christian. And I started off by saying most of what we know about Christianity we learned from Christians, and that's just not fair to Christianity. And what I'm asking you to do in your decision today is I'm asking you to decide to be more like a Christianity Christian. and be inclusive. But you don't know what, you don't know how they talk about me at work. They don't say anything uglier about you than they said about Jesus, and he loved them. In fact, I'll give you this check. You can dislike everybody Jesus doesn't love. That make you feel better? Everybody that Jesus doesn't love, it's okay if you don't love them either. But if we're going to call ourselves Christians, then let's start acting like Christianity is real to us. By being inclusive. Not, please understand, even in Jesus' inclusion, he doesn't say that what people are doing is right. He just says that the people are worth the investment. We need to be more inclusive, and we need to be sure that how we respond to the waitress at the table at lunch, to the person who sits next to us, to the telemarketer who calls us on the phone. If you call yourself Christian, remember you're putting Jesus' reputation on the line. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment of closing. I'm not really sure that this is the kind of message that, you know, is sort of a commitment corner thing, but there will be elders over there immediately after service for any of you who want to have an elder pray with you. But this is the kind of message where we need to make a decision, ladies and gentlemen. That from this day forward, I'm going to have an attitude of inclusion. I'm not going to be ugly about Hispanics anymore. I'm not going to be ugly about my boss anymore. Whatever, you know, we don't like to use the word prejudice, but that's what it is. Whatever our prejudices are, Jesus doesn't have any prejudices. And we need to make a commitment in our hearts and in our lives that we're going to be inclusive. That everybody that the Holy Spirit allows to cross our path, I will love them and accept them and minister to them like I was Jesus himself. And my motivation is that I love his reputation more than mine. And so I will do whatever it takes that makes him look good. Lord Jesus, we thank you for how patient you have been with us, and we ask you to help us to be more patient with others. We thank you that you have included us, and we want to include others. We want to thank you that you love us, and we want to love others. Because it is true, Jesus, that I'm the only Jesus some people will ever see. And so I want to be as much like you as I can. Help me to temper how I respond and how I act and what I say. Remembering that they all are a reflection on you. And may I not put you to an open shame again before the world's eyes. Because I love you too much for that. May my life be a blessing to others as your life has been a blessing to me. And give you honor and glory from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen.